Books and Beyond presents you The Mother, written by Nobel Prize winning author Paul S. Buck and narrated by Malin.
Episode 59. It took the mother very long to come somewhat to herself again, and she was never wholly sound again. She could not eat the rough cabbages she loved, nor any sort of melon, nor the peanuts she had liked to chew raw from the ground where they were dug. And ever after this, she had to think what she ate, to see how it suited itself to her inwards, and if she grew impatient with such finicking, and cried out that she would eat what she would and liked, and her belly must bear it. Why, then the flux came back again. Or even if she worked too hard, or sat in any small cold wind, that evil illness waited for her and made her helpless for a while again. Then in her helplessness, she saw the blind maid must be wed into some house of her own. For it was true she was not welcome here. When the mother was too weak to cry against it, she saw the maid was ill at ease there and felt herself unwanted. And one day the maid came herself at a moment when her mother was alone, and she said, "Mother, I cannot stay here in my brother's house. Oh, mother, I think I would sooner be wet anywhere, so that I could be somewhere I was wanted." Then the mother said no more against it. She comforted her daughter with a word or two. And one day in the winter of that year, when she felt stronger than she had, for ever after she was better in the cold than in the heat, she went and sought the gossip out. There the old gossip sat in her doorway, stitching flowers still upon a bit of cloth, although her thread was very coarse these days, and the edge of the flowers she made a thing to laugh at, for she could not see as once she had, although she would not say she could not. And when the mother found her, she said wearily, "What you said was true. I see my maid would be better wed. And let it be to that one, you know, for I am too weary to look here and there, and always weary somehow nowadays since that flux took me a year or two agone." Then the old gossip was glad to have something new to do that cost her nothing, and she hired a barrow, and on it rode the 10 miles or so to the valley where her father's house had been and to the village, and there she stayed a day or two and more. On the night when she returned, she went to the mother's house and called her out alone to the corner of the house and whispered, "The thing went very well, good wife, and in a month it can be finished. Well, and I'm very weary too, but still I remember I did it all for you, good wife, and we are old friends now." Then the woman took from her bosom a piece of silver she had kept there for this hour, and she pressed it on the gossip. But the gossip pushed her hand away and swore she would not have it, and it was not needful between two friends. And she said this and that, but had it in the end. When all was done, and the woman thought it well, or tried to, she told the son's wife. And the son's wife was pleased and showed it, although she took care to say, "You need not have hastened so, mother, for I bear the maid no ill will, and she may stay here a year or two for all of me, and I would not mind if it were even all her life, if it were not we are so poor we must account to the mouth we feed. But she was more kindly for the while, and she offered of her own will to sew new garments for the maid, 3 in all, a new coat and trousers of dark blue and some red trousers for her wedding day, as even the poorest maid must have, and besides these, a pair of shoes or two, and on the shoes she made a little flower and leaf in red. But they made no great wedding day of it, nor any great ado, since the maid was given free, and there were no gifts given, because she was not good bargain for the man she was to wed. As for the maid, she said nothing of the day. She listened when her mother told her what was done, and she said nothing, save once in the night she put out her hand to feel her mother's face near her, and she whispered to her mother suddenly, "Mother, but is it too far for you to come and see me sometimes, and how I do there? I am so blind. I cannot come to you so far along the road I do not know, and over hills and valleys." Then the mother put out her hand too, and she felt the maid trembling, and she wept secretly, and wiped her tears in the darkness on the quilt, and she said over and over, "I will come, my maid, be sure, and I will come. And when I come, you shall tell me all. And if they do not treat you well, I will see to it heartily. You shall not be treated ill." And then she said most gently, "But you have lain sleepless all this night." And the maid answered, "Yes, and every night a while. But you need not be afraid, child." The mother answered warmly, "You are the best and quickest blind maid I ever saw. And they know you blind, and they cannot blame you for it, nor say, 'We hid it from them.'" But long after the maid had fallen into light sleep at last, the mother lay and blamed herself most heavily, for somehow she felt some wrong within herself that laid its punishment upon the maid, though how, she did not know, only she wished she had been better, and she blamed herself lest, if by any chance, she should have found a nearer place to wed her maid, a village where she could go each month or so, or even found a poor man willing to move to the hamlet for a little price that she could promise. Yet even when she thought of this, she groaned within her heart and doubted that her son and son's wife would have spared even this small price, for they kept the money now. So she thought most heavily, "Yet I cannot hope she will never be beaten. Few houses be there like ours, where neither man nor his mother will beat a maid new come. And it would tear my heart so, and so grieve me, if I saw my blind maid beaten, or even if it was done near enough so I could hear of it. Also the maid could run home and tell me, and I, helpless once she is wed, that I think I could not bear it. Better far to have her where I cannot see her, and where I cannot know, and so be saved the pain because I cannot see, and so can hope." And after she had lain a while more and felt how heavy life lay on her, she thought of one thing she could do, and it was that she could give the maid some silver coins for her own, as her own mother had done when she left home. So in the darkness before dawn she rose, and moving carefully not to stir the beasts and fowls and frighten them, she went to her hole and smoothed away the earth and took out the bit of rag she kept the little store in, and opened it and chose out 5 pieces of silver and thrust them in her bosom and covered the hole again. Then with the silver in her bosom, a little comfort came, and she thought to herself, at least it is not every maid who comes from a poor house with a little store of silver. At least my maid has this. And holding fast on this small comfort, she slept at last.
You've been listening to the audiobook The Mother, written by Nobel Prize-winning author Pearl S. Buck and read by Man Ling. The Mother tells an unforgettable story of a complex and multidimensional woman living in rural China in the early 20th century. She grapples with questions of duty, love, and loyalty, and undergoes a journey of self-discovery and growth. If you like this audiobook, do give this podcast a 5-star rating, leave your comment, and share with your friends. If you want to hear more, please subscribe to Books and Beyond on major podcast platforms.